Right, it has been a wonderful week for golf fans and indeed for all sports fans. First we had Shane Lowry's wonderful win in Portrush, and then the 2026 Ryder Cup has been confirmed for Adair in County Limerick. Well, many of us remember the last Ryder Cup in 2006. It was held in the K Club, hosted by Michael Smurfit. On that occasion, Europe won, and a very emotional Darren Clark lifted the winning trophy. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. Well, joining me now are two of our best-known sports stars. But perhaps what is known about them both is that they are both very keen golfers. Kieran Dunaghy is a former All-Ireland winner with Kerry, and Ruby Walsh is 12-time champion jockey, and you are both very welcome on the line. Kieran Dunaghy, good morning to you. If I could start with you, you've played Adair several times. What's it like?
Adair was always a fantastic course, but JP, you know, they went about kind of taking it to the next level there a number of years ago, and I played it last April, and it's just unbelievable. Really, it's of a different class. The whole feel of the place when you go in, the shape the course is in, how good the greens are, how well it's manicured. You know, it was April when I played it, and there was five or six guys going up each fairway when I got there that morning. It was just, you know, it's right. In serious shape, and it's been kind of compared to the kind of Augusta of Europe, which is, you know, obviously a famous course, and right. Adair is well on the way to being that, I would say.
Yeah, and of course you know a thing or two about turf, don't you? And grass and finishes and all that kind of thing and surfaces, so we'd have to respect that to a certain extent. In terms of a golfer going to play golf there, is it a tough course? I mean, I presume it'll be a beautiful course, and I presume it'll be a manicured course. But is it a tough course?
Oh yes, Marion. It asks you all the questions. You have to be good off the tee. There's huge trees there, so they'll come into play for the Ryder Cup golfers. I've no doubt. You know, they'll tighten in the fairways. They'll grow up the rough. It'll be a serious test for the right, and obviously the greens are amazing, and the runoffs off the green. So if you just miss the green, you can be highly punished, and it will ask kind of big questions of your short game around the green to get back in the hole. And when you're playing Ryder Cup, with the pressure of that on top of just the hard shot you have to play, it'll give them a great test. But it is a tough course, but it's a fair course, and I think the finishing four or five holes are amazing. Down 15, down by the manor, and you've got a beautiful par 3 coming in over the water, with I think the longest green in the world. It's a real long, narrow green, and you've water. Obviously, if you're a short, you're dead. If you're long, you go over the back, and you've got kind of a tough shot back down, because if you catch a tin or bone at any bit, you could end up in the water again. So they'll be great holes, and the 18th is obviously a fantastic hole, finishing up right in front of the manor. So it'll be really good. It'll be really exciting, and I'm sure the whole country can't wait to get down there.
You're a keen golfer. What's your handicap?
Handicap's 12.
Very impressive. Yeah.
Well, yes, it's
takes a lot of time. This is from an observer now, just an observer. It takes a lot of time. Now I'm going to go to Ruby Walsh as well. I mean, we associate you obviously with racing, but you're a keen golfer as well, and you've played in Adair as well.
Hi, Marion. Yeah, how are you? Indeed. I've played there twice actually since it was reopened, and it is fabulous. But I think part of the brilliance of the design of the new Adair is that it is playable for pretty ordinary amateurs like myself, and I can lengthen it and toughen it up to make it an extreme test for the brilliant professionals. It can play both ways, which is a great design asset to have.
Yeah, you were there at one stage caddying for AP McCoy.
I was at the last JP McManus Pro-Am back in 2010.
Yeah.
AP played with Tiger Woods, and it was a very enjoyable round of golf. I'm glad I was carrying the bag, mind, and not having to play.
the whole business about Tiger Woods and his fame, how did you react to him and to that?
I found it strange. I actually remember walking between one green and tee box and watching people clambering over the ropes, trying to just even touch him, grab him. And I remember thinking to myself, God, wouldn't you hate to be that famous? It was surreal to watch how people just wanted to be beside him, be touching off him. It was incredible to see. And like, he'd had to be almost of a car escort from one green to the next tee box. It was phenomenal to watch.
It must be very difficult now, because I had heard before that he was kind of grumpy with crowds, as it were, looking for autographs or whatever, and that he could kind of throw a club or whatever in annoyance. But I presume to the non-player, the player has to focus on the job.
Definitely. I mean, you saw that last week in Royal Portrush with Shane Lowry going from one green to the next tee box, and people looking to shake his hand or slap him on the back, and how focused he was and walked directly down the middle line of the passageway between both places. I know manners should dictate that you need to stop, but if you're trying to focus to win a golf competition like he was playing in, I, as a former professional sports person, I really saw the focus in his game, and I admired what he was doing, being able to walk from one green to the next tee box and not have the crowd interfere with him. When the game is over, by all means, stand and shake hands and sign autographs. But during the round, I thought that showed the level of focus that Shane Lowry had last week, and it's probably something Tiger Woods has always had.
Right, yes. Well, you were saying about the Sunday. As a sports person, there are two ways to play. You can play not to lose, or you can play to win. And tell me the difference.
I think so. I mean, if you're playing not to lose, you're Shane Lowry and you're however many strokes in front he was, you start taking a club less. You make sure you're in the fairway. You make sure you're in the middle of the green. And you don't take any chances. And that's playing safe. And that's not playing to win. When you're playing to win, you're chasing something. And Shane Lowry went out last Sunday in Portrush, and he played to win. He chased it all the way, even after bogeying the first, the way that he attacked the second. He played to win and never allowed the opposition a chance to catch up with him. When you start to play not to lose, you start playing safe, and that opens the doors for those coming behind you.
Interesting thing, and even just in terms of psychology. Let me go back to Kerry, if I may. You've taken part in three Irish Open Pro-Ams at this stage. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they're just they're on the Wednesday before the tournament, and I guess it's kind of the highlight of it is you're getting to play probably one of the best courses in Ireland in the best shape it's ever going to be on the Wednesday before the tournament kicks off. So it's just lovely to see a course in them kind of surroundings and the grandstands around the 18th and all that kind of stuff. And it's the greens and these courses that we are lucky enough to have in Ireland. And Ireland is blessed with golf courses all over the country, which is probably the reason why we're so good at this game, and why we've 10 majors in the last probably 20 years from a lot of our guys. So, you know, it goes to prove the beauty of the golf courses. But when you're playing in the Irish Open Pro-Am, you know, you're obviously getting to play with a pro. You're getting to see them up close, how they hit the ball, how they interact with their caddy and all that kind of stuff. So you get to learn stuff. You know, I was looking at the caddy's books and all the details they have about the holes and greens and slopes and all that kind of stuff. So it's just interesting to see that side of it. You wouldn't see that, obviously, from behind the ropes. So that's a nice highlight to... and there's a bit of pressure too, like trying to hit a golf ball with people watching you. Even though, as Ruby says, we're amateur golfers, but when you're standing up and there's people lying both sides of the fairway, and you're afraid you kill someone with your shot, it's a bit intimidating at times. But it's good; it focuses you and narrows the mindset.
Well, you say you like it because it tightens up your stomach with nerves, and that you play better.
Yeah, I would have always felt that in my career, that when I was a bit nervous, I'd always felt I performed at my best. So, yeah, it's kind of that pain in the stomach, you know. I'm retired from Kerry and Ruby retired last year, so, you'd miss that feeling of the fear or the pressure that comes with it with playing a sport. So it's a nice little way to kind of just remind yourself of them feelings, of the pain in your stomach going onto the first tee and the sweaty palms and all that. So, yeah.
Does that ring a bell with you, Ruby?
It does, but I don't think I miss it. Kieran thinks he might, but I most certainly don't miss that pain, the pressure, the worry, I don't miss it yet anyway. If I never have that feeling again, I'd be fairly happy, to be honest with you.
Well, there you go. Sure, maybe you might be playing golf next time around. Now, I was looking at various relationships with J.P. McManus, and I see the paper's got a picture of you at one stage, Kieran, with him, and they said, Donaghy trading secrets with J.P. ahead of the Munster final. Explain to me, please.
That was back in 2011. I'm almost sure a good buddy of mine, Mark Murphy, was playing in the Irish Open that was on in Killarney, and I was excited to go watch Mark, and we trained in Killarney on the Thursday night, and our manager at the time, Jack O'Connor, kind of gave a spiel out on the pitch afterwards about, you know, don't be going to the golf, don't be walking around wasting energy in your legs. We have a big game Sunday against Limerick in Fitzgerald Stadium, so I was kind of capping to a stool, and I was talking to Mark, and Mark was like, yeah, just come up and walk around, you can, you know, I've passes for the clubhouse and you can chill out there and watch some of it, you know, you don't have to be on the course all the time. So I went out in a way against the Irish, as I probably shouldn't have done, and met JP there, and JP obviously being a big GA fan, and I would have met him before once or twice on Waterville. He goes down there quite a bit, so he was following Mark, he was good friends with Mark as well, and we just happened to kind of walk six or seven holes together, and the crack was mighty, and Mark finished his round and we went our separate ways, and I got a phone call the following morning from one of my friends to say, you're in the back of the Star with JP, and I was like, what's that about? So I went to the shop quickly and just had a look at the paper, there's me and JP laughing away, walking the fairways. So yeah, the Star took it as an opportunity to make it. I was telling JP all our tactics and stuff, and not long after my friend rang me, Jack O'Connor rang me, and I had a bit of explaining to do, but all was forgiven. We won the Munster final, thanks be to God, so he couldn't hold against me too much.
That's very, very true. Now, Tiger Woods went through a desperate period professionally. Well, he went through a desperate period personally, and that seems to have taken a toll on his game. And he's had operations and operations and operations, and he's had an amazing comeback by winning again this year. I understand when you were down there and you met Tiger Woods, Ruby, that he and JP are actually very close.
I'm not quite certain how close they are, but yeah, obviously they must have some sort of a relationship to say that Tiger Woods would come to Adair and has come on a couple of occasions to play in a charity pro-am.
Yeah.
So obviously they do get on quite well, but yeah, look, obviously it's been well documented, all of Tiger's personal and professional problems, and he looks to have put them all behind him. But I'm the kind of person that looks for the positive in most things.
Yeah.
And to see the recovery Tiger has made, both personally and professionally, is outstanding. And look, no one wants to get into those situations, but if you can do what Tiger did and pull yourself out of it, there has to be some bit of inspiration in that too.
Yeah, it really does seem to be quite extraordinary. Now, you, Ruby, will remember perhaps more than Kieran the run-up to the Ryder Cup in Strathfin.
Oh, I do. I'm from Kilve,
yeah.
Marion, so Strathfin is only sort of four and a half miles away, but yeah, the build-up, the years into it, and even the local chatter about how much people were going to get for renting their house out for the week, and the infrastructure that was put in place. And
well, I mean, I was driving across from there just about 2 weeks ago thinking there was a wonderful road structure put in there at that time. So that's all ahead of Adair.
It is, and you'd even wonder, would Cork County Council cotton on and make the road from Cork to Limerick a bit better and try and capitalise on it? You know, it is an opportunity for rural Ireland to make itself better, infrastructure-wise anyway.
Yeah.
Obviously, Adair will have to be bypassed to have the event, but you would imagine that the spin-off will go as north as far as Galway. Now, with the new road from Limerick to Galway, this motorway all the way, Cork are going to have to compete with that, or they're going to lose a fair bit of tourism, traffic or spin-off from the Ryder Cup. So, you know, it will definitely benefit the whole southwest.
It certainly will benefit. I see the argy-bargy has started already because Dublin Airport said they would be the access point and Shannon are telling them to forget that, that it's going to be, the gateway is going to come in through Shannon. Kieran, the same point to you. What it will mean locally for the economy, I mean for the people locally, and how will it benefit them financially?
Oh, look, just for as Ruby says, you know, down the west of Ireland, this will be huge for them because you'll have people that will come for this event, but not only will comfort, but may fall in love with the place, you know, and send people back for generations. So, you know, you're going to have Galway, you've Kerry, you've Cork, you've Limerick, you've Clare, all beautiful counties down the west.
They're going to get massive. Yes.
Yeah, they're going to get massive feedback, and it's a great chance, as Ruby says, for Ireland to show ourselves and. In the same light as we do every time. You know, we've got the best fans in the world. You know, that was well exhibited in the Ryder Cup in 2006. And our fans are respectful. They know when to cheer. They know when to support, get behind a guy. And there's no real messing like you see maybe sometimes in the American Gulf. So, you know, the people down here, it'll be huge for businesses. It'll be huge for communities, you know, in the lead up to it. But more so kind of post it, you know, it's going to be massive, of course, for the next 7 years, the build-up and everything that will be done. But it's actually the amount of people we'll bring, the amount of people that watch the Ryder Cup all over the world. They'll get to see this beautiful Adair Manor, you know, and I'm sure there'll be little bits done, as there always is around the Ryder Cup, around surrounding areas, and just how beautiful the terrain is. So, yeah, no, it'll be... It's
all
massive.
Good. It's all good, and it's all going to be good. A caller was on to say... will the British players be left off the European team? I wouldn't think so. Anyway, I'll finish the question. Will the British players be left off the European team in the Ryder Cup, Marion, seeing as they've jumped ship, so to speak? Well, they're still within the...
There's not an EU competition. It's a Europe competition.
Yeah.
I'm sure there has been Swiss players.
I will indeed, yeah. If you're a regular golfer, is it worth pointing out how much a round of golf would cost at Adair? Do either of you know, or are you such VIPs that nobody would dream of taking a farthing from you?
I played with a member, so...
You played as a member?
With a member.
Or with a member?
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Well, just for what it's worth, we looked it up on the website. How much does it cost to play in Adair Manor? Green fees start at $375 during the summer months and drop to $300 from October to April. The course is not available Jan and Feb. Anyone wishing to play the course must be accompanied by a caddy, and that comes at a cost of $75. Is that very dear, lads?
It's expensive, but I think that the Adair course is what it is. It's maintained to standards, as Kieran pointed out earlier, like Augusta.
Yeah.
And that doesn't come cheap.
Well, there you go. Listen, lads. Oh, just before I let you go, now that you've retired, Ruby, what are you doing nowadays? Playing golf?
At this minute in time, Mary and I are sitting in Willie Mullins' office waiting to go and ride third lot. And as of Monday, I will be in Galway for race week.
Are you climbing aboard again?
No, I'm not, no. I have other work to do, much safer. 2 feet on the ground, talking into a microphone or
two guests.
Oh, right,
getcha. Okay. Easy work this time.
Easier than what you were doing, Ruby.
Okay, listen. Thank you both very, very much indeed, and we'll take a break.